Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you. With professional-grade industrial supplies, count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to Ask a Cheesehead. I'm your host, Brian Rago. Today's content usually is I answer questions, but I have a guest on today from Draft Utopia. But before I get to my guest, I want to give a huge shout out to the Ohana Packers Edition for giving me the opportunity to express my opinions. There is a special giveaway. Once the Ohana Packers Twitter account hits 523 followers, we are giving away a Jaire Alexander autographed 8x10 picture. Okay, here's my guest from Draft Utopia. What's going on?
Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, no problem. You had a question for me right away. What was that again?
Well, I was I've got two linebackers graded very highly, and I'm thinking the Packers might take one to replace Devondre Campbell at 58. I had Jeremiah Trotter Jr. slotted in, but I'm thinking about swapping him out with Peyton Wilson, who won the Butkus. I've got the Packers going secondary early, but that 24, you could go either Cooper DeJean or offensive line, depending on what the best player on your board is at pick 25. And then I think Tyler Newbin goes at 41, and you pair him with Xavier McKinney. And then I'm debating between Peyton Wilson and Jeremiah Trotter Jr. as Devondre Campbell replacement at 58. That's kind of the basis or the foundation of this mock for the Packers. But there's a lot of routes you can go. If you think tackle needs to be upgraded, you can go that route. I do think a right guard upgrade over Sean Ryan could be useful. Graham Barton, great guard, could move him into center potentially. Jackson Powers, Johnson, Zach Frazier. If you're sick of Josh Myers, you can make a change now. There's a lot you can do with those first three picks, and those are all going to be huge picks for the Packers in this
draft. Yeah, they are. I've always seen the Packers like history of like drafting offensive linemen in the later rounds and having them work out for them and for the long run. I want to see Jordan Love stay on his feet as much as possible. So I would be leaning towards offensive lineman first round. I would do like Graham Barton out of Duke, and I like that guy out of Washington. I forgot his name. But I definitely think we got to have someone to replace Devondre Campbell as well. I think Trotter, obviously his dad played for the Eagles for years. He has the genetics. You know, hopefully. And safety as well. It'd be cool to see a good 1-2 punch at safety with McKinney. So with those first three picks, I mean, you could probably mix them all around and have good results, depending on what you pick for each round, you know?
Agreed.
But also, I think D-line is a place to go to. This is so we can get a decent rotation with our line that we have, keep the players fresh. I think we're going to see some different packages with a new defensive coordinator. That is, I think if you give the guys, you know, rotational to keep them fresh is a good idea as well. But I'd probably pick that later on in the draft as well. What do you think?
Yeah, the Packers, they drafted two defensive ends last year, 34 defensive ends. They took a guy out of Auburn that my co-host really liked, and they also took Carl Brooks. So they have depth at 34 defensive end, but if they stick with the 34, they run a combination of the 3-3-5 I'm guessing it'll be a combination of nickel and the 3-3-5 and 34 defense. It'll be a combination of those three schemes, unless the new defensive coordinator wants to add some other plays to the playbook to incorporate more variety with the defense in terms of the formations and the looks up front with the front seven. Because
that's, yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing Rashawn Gary go down the three-point stance every once in a while. That's how he really dominated in college, and they brought him over to the NFL and put him at linebacker, you know?
Yeah.
I think somebody with his size and his power, you have more power when you're in your three-point stance and you're leaning forward because you're ready to go. You know what I'm saying? You don't have to be kind of in a standing up and then, you know, low man wins. Well, if you're already lower, I mean, I'm excited to see this defense this year. I really am. You know, we have Eric Stokes coming back, hopefully 100%. I mean, he wasn't the greatest his rookie year, but he showed potential. He did get burned a few times, but his speed made up for it, so he's able to recover quick. What do you think about that?
I loved Eric Stokes. I had him graded above Gregory Newsom the year that the Packers and Browns both went corner back-to-back picks in the first round. So yeah. I am totally on board with Stokes. At the same time, if the Packers have decided we're not going to use the fifth-year tender on Stokes, I can see them taking a corner at 24 if one's there. I ended up mocking Cooper DeJean at 24, but he can end up going a lot higher. Now that he's recovered from his injury and he's had a good pro day, he could potentially go as early as 15 to the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
I have Quinyon Mitchell as my number one corner, but I have Denver taking him at 12.
See, when I see Cooper DeJean, I don't know if you followed me in the past, but I get flashbacks of Josh Jackson 2.0 from Iowa. That's just my opinion. Like, I don't know if that's a wrong take on him or maybe I just Big Ten competition. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? It's just I'd personally take Kool-Aid over Cooper.
Kool-Aid went to the Eagles at 22, so Cooper DeJean was the only corner left on the board.
Okay.
So in my mock, but you know, it just depends. What Washington player were you referring to? I'm guessing it's Troy Fautanu, the Washington Huskies left tackle, is the player you were referring
to? Yeah. Fautanu, yeah.
Because they have Roger Rosengarten at right tackle, too, but I figured Fautanu was the guy you were referring to. Because he's
that and Latham from Alabama, you know? Get a guy with size.
Yeah.
J.C. Latham.
Another guy I really like who held his own against Dallas Turner is Texas right tackle Christian Jones. I did mock him to the Packers in round three.
Yeah.
I think he could be a good you could start him out at swing tackle, and if you didn't want to pay Zach Tom or Walker after the deals, you could let one of them walk and Jones could take over as the bookend. That's
yeah.
a situation you could be looking at. It just depends. And
I just think the Packers have a good coaching staff to where you can get guys in later rounds and make them successful linemen. You don't necessarily need to draft a lineman first round all the time, but I think this year would be the year to do it.
Yeah. So much depth in the offensive line. It's deep receiver class. Deep quarterback class. I think it's deep. I think there's as many as 10 starters, but probably five or six day one starters at the very most. And most of those guys are going to come off the board relatively early.
Yeah. Yeah, it's every year it seems like something else is, you know, heavy on as far as linemen and linebackers. I do think it is important to get the boundary placed. I don't think McDuffie's the guy to do it, honestly. He seemed to be hurt, you know, in the past, and just get a fresh body and see what they can do, you know.
Yeah, Jordan Love's going to do great things. I did have the Packers making the playoffs last year. Part of that is because I was at the 2020 Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama, and one of the players I interviewed there was Utah State quarterback Jordan Love. So I had a hunch Jordan Love was going to break through this year, and did he break through this year.
Yeah. You go back and you look at the game against the Cowboys, right? And you see the game live on TV, and you see the throw, like, oh, that's a good throw. But then they show, like, the shot from, like, the back of the end zone looking at the game. And, like, the ball was coming down the field, and it, like one hand it went by, then the next hand it went by, and the next hand it went by, right? I mean, right in the receiver. I mean, no, I mean, it was like an absolute perfect dime, you know? I mean, you see a lot of these quarterbacks that get thrown in their rookie year, and they just get broken down right away, you know? Like, I feel bad for Justin Fields. Like, I think he was put in a pretty crappy situation in Chicago. And I think my hot take for this next year is halfway through the season, he's going to take over a starting spot from Russell Wilson. What do you think about that?
I kind of agree with you. I think
quarterbacks
could carry the load, but I could see Fields taking over for Wilson if the Steelers get off to a bad start.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a huge Wisconsin Badger fan, so I saw Fields, and I know what he's capable of. He's been in big games. He's had big-name receivers. They had the chance of getting Marvin Harrison Jr., and they had DJ Moore, and then they trade him. They didn't even give him a chance to, you know, why don't you take account for your coaches and not blame the player for not being productive for you? You know, I think he's going to a right situation in Pittsburgh, and I think he's going to prove the Bears wrong for getting rid of him, because he was one Bears quarterback that I didn't like facing, you know, just because I knew what kind of an arm he had, and I'm just glad he's out of the division.
that's how Dan Campbell feels too. I mean, I know you don't like the Lions. They're a division rival. They did get back the NFC title for the first time in forever. But at the same time, Justin Fields was consistently a top seven, top eight quarterback in fantasy football. And that's largely due to his passing and his running ability.
Yep.
On field.
Yeah. I wish him luck in Pittsburgh. And I'm glad he's not in Chicago. And I think they're going to draft Caleb Williams and destroy his career too. That's just my take.
Yeah, I mean, the Bears, I don't know. I think it's going to be a rough rookie season for Caleb Williams. Maybe they get the right coach after that. I don't think it's Eberflus. I don't think Matt Eberflus is the right long-term head coach for the Bears. But unless the Bears just struggle to make the playoffs and just flat out suck, and Caleb Williams just has a really bad rookie year, like Trevor Lawrence had, I really can't see them making a coaching change.
Yeah, I've always thought of that organization as a dumpster fire. I mean, they just continually, they just suck.
I mean, they haven't consistently won anything. I mean, Chicago has two droughts. The Bears basically are going to be in a rebuild. Maybe Caleb turns it around, but I don't think it'll be year one. I think in 2025 or 2026 will be when we start seeing the Bears get more competitive. It just depends on what happens this year. I think this will be a transitional year. And they did bring in the Seahawks head coach. But it's funny, the Bears' only last playoff win came in 2010 before they lost to the Packers in the 2011 NFC title game, I believe. I could be wrong on that. And I think there is one team in Chicago with a longer playoff drought than the Bears. That is the Chicago Fire, the MLS team. But soccer's not really considered, MLS isn't really considered one of the four major sports, along with the NFL, NBA, and MLB. So that's not going to get brought up.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing. The Bears have to figure out a way to get over that hump. They got the playoffs twice with Trubisky and lost on both occasions, despite Trubisky winning MVP. Justin Fields couldn't get them to the postseason. I felt like if the Bears had beaten the Browns, this would be a completely different conversation, maybe. Maybe
yeah.
The Bears are in a position where they can challenge. No. Packers would still get in at 9-8. It's just the Bears would be playing for the right to get in the playoffs against the
Packers. Yeah.
That game would have higher stakes.
You bring up 2011 when the Packers beat the Bears to go into the Super Bowl. Super Bowl
V in Jerry World.
Yeah. Packers have more playoff wins in Jerry World than the Cowboys do.
It's true.
Isn't that sad? America's team, huh?
Jordan Love continued what Aaron Rodgers did to the Cowboys, but Aaron Rodgers and Jordan Love they did what Favre couldn't do against the Cowboys, if you want to go back even further, because he had that MVP season before Super Bowl 31, and they lost the NFC title to the Cowboys.
Yep.
And if you go back further than that, you have the Ice Bowl. Is that a pre-Super Bowl, or was that a before NFC title and Super Bowl one? I don't know exactly as far as history goes, but I know the Ice Bowl was a significantly big historical game.
Oh, they always talk about it. Whenever it gets cold here in Green Bay, they always bring up the Ice Bowl, and they always, you know, in the other NFL games when it's super cold, they always reference the Ice Bowl. So it's pretty cool. But
what about the Packers 2015 playoff win against the Cowboys in Lambeau? I know there's still some bitter Cowboys fans that think Dez Bryant caught the ball. I know there was a pass interference penalty in the Lions-Cowboys playoff game the previous week, and I think there was either it was incomplete, but there were fans complaining it was a catch or something. I don't remember. It's almost 10 years ago.
Yeah, well, Dez did drop it, so. No, I remember those games, and they're fun to watch. You know, I used to get all upset when the Packers would lose, and now it's just like, it's just a game. You know, it's like I can't let it affect me and lose my sleep over something that I have no control over. So, but those are, you know, you bring up some great points on the games. And I was talking about the 2011 when, I mean, I remember Sammy Shields, an undrafted free agent, turned, you know, somewhat decent, you know. He had, what, two picks in that game against the Bears? The last one was to ice the game, you know. So it just goes to show you, not all people are drafted in the first seven rounds of the draft. Some of your stars come undrafted. So,
yep, priority free agents, exactly. Because I remember 2011, I was in community college at CCAC North Campus, which is close to Pittsburgh. And everybody was talking about how the Steelers were going to get a third Super Bowl. And I'm like, no, you still have a heck of a team, but you only reason you made it is because the Jets knocked out the Patriots. And number two, I felt like Green Bay just had a better roster on paper. Just looking at the starting lineups and the depth charts for both teams, I felt like Green Bay, they had the quarterback, they had the left tackle and Clifton at the time. They had Greg Jennings, who was still in his prime. You had Jordy Nelson, who was up and coming. You had
JerMichael Finley,
edge rusher. Charles Woodson was your number one corner. The Packers just had everything at the time. They even had Colin Jenkins at five technique and with Raji. The Packers had everything you wanted from a championship team. It was just them getting over the hump. And then once they won that one, it felt like they were going to get a second one before the Giants showed up.
Yeah. You think back to that year, that run they had, because they were a wild card team.
Yeah.
You know, and they came in. I remember when Tremont had that pick in the end zone against the Eagles, and then Tremont had that pick six before halftime against the Falcons. I mean, they just showed everything, like their backs were against the wall and they're fighting back, you know, and they came with a punch. And, you know, I think back to, you know, just they made in 96, they had Reggie, and 2011, they had Charles Woodson, two free agents, big time free agents. They had that once you sign those free agents, you know, turn things around. And I think this year with getting Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney, it might have hopefully the same effect, you know, hopefully, you know, it's, I mean, I don't understand why the Giants let McKinney go. I mean, kid's 24 years old. He still has a lot of years left ahead of him, a lot of good years left ahead of him. And he has nine picks, one pick six already. I mean, he's on a good path right now, I think. And Green Bay is lucky, I think, to get him. And I think he's going to
turn 25 till August. Why would you let him go? That's the thing. The Giants just didn't want to pay any of their core guys. They gave Daniel Jones a huge contract, but their other Daniel Jones is a product of the supporting cast. You paid your left tackle, Andrew Thomas, top five money, more money than Trent Williams, but you don't want to pay anybody else. And I think that's going to show this year, that because the Giants, they have their pick at 647. They do have 70. But if you don't hit on those three picks, you're essentially stuck in a rebuild, especially if Daniel Jones is your starting quarterback, because I don't think he's the guy.
Yeah, I don't think he is either. I think he had that one. He had some good games. I think they paid him too quick.
Decent year in his contract year. He had a decent year where he put everything together in his contract year, and then the Giants basically coughed up $40 million, and that was not the right move at the time.
No, and like you said, it's sometimes. I mean, I know how it is in Green Bay when your quarterback takes a lot of money and kind of halters keeping people around because of the money you have stuck into something with no results, you know? And that's kind of why I think the Packers were able to make these moves this last season, because they had that money freeing up, you know? And I think a lot of the players saw what Jordan Love did with the Packers last year and the way the team, you know, supported him and came around him and talked so highly of him. I think now people actually do want to come to Green Bay to be a part of that and try to make something special happen, you know?
Yeah. And I've got a feeling Jordan Love is going to get extended after the draft. Maybe not like a 5 or 6 year deal, but I'm thinking like a 3 or 4 year deal. I don't know how much it'll be though.
Yeah, there's talks around here about that happening, that they're gonna extend him pretty soon. So,
for this year, they're gonna extend him soon. They're probably just gonna get the draft pick signed first, and then he'll probably get extended in July or August if I had to make an estimate.
Yeah, but he, like, last year was like his prove it year, and he sure proved it. You know, so much for a rebuild in Green Bay, right? That was a talk. Rodgers is gone. Oh, they're going to be in a rebuild. You know, we got all these young receivers that, you know, and they came and they all came to play, you know, and that was awesome to see that, you know, people were pissed that Lazard, you know, we lost Lazard. Well, the money he made last year, $11 million, our receivers combined made $7
million. I loved Romeo Doubs coming out of Nevada.
Yeah.
I think,
yeah,
I had a
same here.
Third-round grade on Dobbs. I think I actually had him graded higher than Watson in the draft, but both Watson and Dobbs have been spectacular for Green Bay, and they're both on rookie deals for 2 more years.
Yeah, and I said 2 years ago, Dobbs rookie year, I said he reminds me of Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson in the same body. The stuff that he does just reminds me that the way he turns and jumps in the end zone for the ball, the way he makes his cuts off the line. I mean, he reminds me of a mixture of those two, you know, and it's like the Packers have a niche for getting these guys and making them productive. And it's awesome. You know, yeah. You don't need a first round receiver to be a successful quarterback. You know, Devontae wasn't a first round receiver, and he's probably one of the better receivers Aaron Rodgers had. And, you know, you get one receiver that's really super good that you always go to. What do you think the defense is going to do? They're going to try to enable you from going to him. And it's easy to call a defense when you're going to double team Davante Adams. You know, it's Jordan Love. He spreads the ball pretty good, I think. And he makes a good throw. And it's just, I'm excited for the next few years in Green Bay for sure.
Same. I think Green Bay's got a chance to do something. I feel like it's either going to be the Packers or the Lions that comes out of the NFC this year. I mean, the Eagles, I considered them as a challenger too, but they're moving to a 34 scheme. It's always a transition when you move away from one defensive scheme to another in the offseason. So, I mean, the Falcons could be a lot better this year, but I just don't trust Raheem Morris. I don't trust him as a coach. But to be fair to Raheem Morris, he didn't have the experience of a defensive coordinator when he took over for Gruden.
Right.
He worked under McVay. He has that experience now, and he seems like he's done a better job in terms of motivating the team, game planning, executing. I could see the Falcons winning the division, maybe even getting the one seed, but I also feel like if they got the one seed, they would lose to a team like Green Bay or Detroit if the other NFC North team got the 2 seed. And it would be a 5-2 NFC title between the two NFC North teams.
Yeah, I shouldn't say shocked, but you know, you get so used to hearing all the chatter about they're not going to do anything and whatever, and then you see them you kind of like, yeah, Packers are back, you know, you have a good young team. You know, what their oldest player is Preston Smith at 31 years old, as of right now. That's pretty impressive that they did pulled off what they did last year. I mean, they went to Dallas and just totally punched them in the mouth immediately. And also, I think that this last year, Matt LaFleur was able to run the offense the way he wanted to. They didn't have to cater around a quarterback. They knew, like, halfway through the season, you know, I think they started to gel. They knew what they had, and then that's how they planned their playbook, and it seemed to work the second half of the season.
Yeah.
But then I think this offseason, we know what we have in our deck to play with this next year. We know what we need. So I think this offseason is going to be better than last offseason as far as, like, drafting and, I think, training camp. And I'm just super excited for it. I mean, season can't start quick enough, you know. It's like you have all these mock drafts and all this and that, and then until it's all said and done and we see it on the field, you know, I'm going to be sitting here just chomping to watch football again.
Yeah.
What do you think? Do you think Rashawn Gary is going to have a big year this year?
I do. I think he's going to have double-digit sacks again. I expect him to have a big year.
Yeah. I hope to see him in a three-point stance or four, you know, coming off the edge. Put him down like he was in college again. He was a beast in college coming from that position, you know?
Yep.
And I think he's going to be successful. I think Quay Walker is going to have a big year. I think you got to send him with his speed and his athleticism, send him after the quarterback more, you know?
I agree. This is a big year for Quay Walker coming up, especially if he wants that fifth-year tender. This is a big year for him.
Devontae White showed promise last year, big time. I mean, he was hurt here and there, but his size, he used it to get, you know, make an impact. So that was good.
I think the Packers are just keeping both edge rushers as long as they can until Lucas Van Ness develops.
Yeah, him too.
Obviously, to keep Gary. Gary right now is probably the best chess piece you have on your defense at most important position in edge rusher, 34 right outside linebacker, even though he plays on the left side, Smith plays on the right. Both edge rushers are worth what they're getting paid. But I also feel like if Lucas Van Ness breaks out, then a buyout for Preston Smith is inevitable once Van Ness breaks out.
Right. Yeah, because I mean,
2025 or 2026.
If you're gonna put Preston Smith on a receiver, I'd rather see Van Ness on a receiver than Preston Smith. Yeah. Oh, we got so pissed off last year when you see Preston Smith like on the fastest receiver on the other team. It's like, why? Why are they putting him out there?
I'm not sure. That's a question I'd like to know, but I think the defensive coordinator is going to correct some fundamentals in that respect.
Yeah, I mean, I hope so. From the sounds of Devondre Campbell, what he was saying was if he would have listened to everything that he was being told, he wouldn't have been an All-Pro. So that tells me that there was some friction with the defense and the coaches. So. Yeah. I don't know if you saw those reports or not, but he was, you know, pretty much dissing, you know, some of the coaches. He didn't come out and say which ones, but you can only assume. But it had to have been Joe Barry, you know.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
I think Josh Jacobs is going to have a huge year. What about you?
Jacobs, I could definitely see it. He won me a fantasy title a few years ago, back in 2022. Josh Jacobs, I do think Jacobs is going to have a big year. I could also see the Packers getting a running back in like the third or fourth round of the draft. If Blake Corum is there at 91 or 92, I could see a running back in that circumstance. But if you have to be the top three running back, and he'd have to be there at 92. Otherwise, you wait until day three to get your running back.
Yeah, it's funny. When we got Jacobs and Jones, it's like, oh, that's an awesome 1-2 combo. And all of a sudden they released Aaron Jones. And I'm like on Twitter joking around, hey, I wonder if AJ Dillon's still available, .. And a few days later, the Packers signed AJ Dillon. I like the signing of AJ Dillon because he did good for the Packers. He wasn't a featured back, but when they needed him, he was there, you know? Yeah. And now you got Jacobs and Dillon. They're physical runners. Jones was physical too, but I'd rather have Jacobs being physical 3 years younger and along with AJ Dillon. And then we have Emmanuel Wilson, who showed some promise last year with his speed. I think, like you said, Blake Corum, or I'm a huge homer fan of Braylon Allen.
I love Braylon Allen, but I think he's going to be gone by 70 or 71. I'm looking at the Cardinals. I'm looking at maybe even the Chargers at 69. I think somewhere in that range, Allen comes off the board and Jonathan Brooks follows. And then it's just a matter of Blake Corum, Trey Benson. Do you want one of those two at 92? And if not, you can try to get somebody in the fourth round, like an Isaiah Davis out of South Dakota State. And if AJ Dillon's willing to take a 1 year, $1.4 million extension next offseason, and you don't think your fourth round pick is ready to be the second stringer, you could bring Dillon back another year then, but worry about it then. Because a lot of the contracts being handed out are nothing. I think the biggest contract I saw for free agency is either 4 or 5 years this year.
Yeah,
any 6-7 year deals. That tells me that teams know there's a lot of talent in college, and they're not in the middle about giving these guys long term deals.
I mean, look at Aaron Jones. He from UTEP. I mean, was he even on the radar when in his playing days at college, like a headliner? You know, look at what he did.
I did not like him coming out of UTEP, but his agent was Leigh Steinberg, same agent as Patrick Mahomes, and he did surprisingly well, took the running back one job from Green Bay and was able to sustain that for many years.
Yeah, and also, too, with, like, the coaching staff turnover, the Packers got a whole new training staff, too. And I know they sent Christian Watson and – I just went over this the other day – another player who – Eric Stokes to UW-Madison to get checked out with, you know, just to try to help prevent more with like the quad injury or the hamstring injury. So hopefully they have a better training staff, because it always seemed to be the same damn injury, the hamstring. You know, then they're out for 4 or 5 games. And another question for you. Do you think Minnesota's in trouble? The Vikings?
Depends on what they do at quarterback in the draft. That's the big thing. If they can get a good quarterback in the draft, they could be back in the thick of things. I like Kevin O'Connell. I like the weapons around them. But I also think, you know, they're the bottom feeder right now in that division. Because the Lions look like a front runner to get to Super Bowl 59. The Packers could also have a say in the NFC next year. The Bears are going to have Caleb Williams. They're going to have – they'll probably get Romo Dunes or an edge rusher at 9 if they don't trade the pick. My guess is they'd get O'Dunes, and they'd have more Keenan Allen and O'Dunes as their weapons for Caleb Williams. And then that would essentially make the Vikings number 4, regardless of whether they kept their draft picks or whether they traded them or whether they traded up to get a quarterback. They'd be the bottom feeder in that division, no matter how you spin it.
Yeah, I could see, like, if they don't get a quarterback in the next year or so, I can see Justin Jefferson hooking up with Carson Palmer, or not Carson Palmer.
Oh, I can see that.
I'm thinking Bengals, and all of a sudden I think of Carson Palmer with Joe Burrow, his college quarterback. I could see that happening like, I mean, I want to see it happen because he'd be out of the Vikings. always trades and signings I want to see to benefit the Packers. Get out of Minnesota.
Okay, I've got a question for you. What Packers players do you think are on the chopping block entering this year? Like hot seat players that may get moved after the draft, or because I'm just kind of curious. I'm thinking Kenny Clark could be on his way out after the season, but I don't think he will get moved or traded with his salary. But I'm just trying to think what players enter this season on the hot seat in Green Bay. It's a tough question because Green Bay's a pretty stable organization. They always find a way to reload and get talent at key spots without overpaying guys. That's one of the things the Packers do really well.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a really good question. I mean, I could see your point with Kenny Clark. I say it depends on his productivity this next year, you know?
Yeah. Ideally you want to pay Jordan Love and Kenny Clark, but I also don't think Clark's a liability, but at the same time, he's making $27.4 million this year. Can you get him for less? He'll be, or is he going to test the market? Because right now, I would think Kenny Clark's 28. He'll be 29 later this year. Can you get him for 20 to 25 million on a multi-year deal? Or are you in a situation where you may have to let him walk? Because I'm not sure Slayton's the guy at nose tackle. But the Packers moved Kenny Clark from nose tackle to five technique this year because they were impressed with Slayton's development under Clark. And you got Wyatt, you got Wooden, you got Brooks. You've got guys who are on rookie deals. I think the Packers are going to be okay at 34 defensive end, regardless of what they do with Clark. But
yeah,
outside of Clark, I can't really name a guy who's on the hot seat. I don't think there's anybody on the chopping block that the Packers are going to try to move now to get either draft picks or whatever. But I think
Clark's
on the hot seat, and that's just how I see it right now, just looking at the contracts for the Packers.
I mean, everybody else is productive in some type of way. You know what I'm saying? They utilize all their guys, and I mean, it's like you said, they're a pretty stable organization with their players, and I don't know if
he doesn't get a fifth-year tender and they draft a corner at 25, maybe Stokes gets dealt. But at the same time, I feel like the Packers want to keep Stokes. He's good. When he's healthy, he's good. When he's healthy, he's the second-best corner on this team. There's no disputing that behind Jair. When he's healthy, he's the second-best corner on the roster. And Carrington Valentine was a player I liked coming out of Kentucky last year. Packers got him in round 7. He did a solid job coming in at nickel corner when the roster was depleted with injuries at corner when both Jair and Stokes were injured. He did a solid job.
Yeah. So, I mean, for a rookie, you know. I still think I would kick the tires on Rudy Ford. Get him back. He hasn't been signed yet, has he?
I'm not sure if Rudy Ford has been signed yet, but it's
a really good
draft, and I'm thinking the Packers are probably going to. Rudy Ford has still been still available.
And he was one of the better coverage safeties last year in coverage, wasn't he?
The Packers do not draft a safety within the top 100. They're probably going to bring back Rudy Ford on day 3 of the draft. That's probably what will end up happening. If the Packers pass on a safety in the first 3 rounds of the draft, they'll probably bring him back. That'll probably be the very first thing that his name's hard to pronounce.
I call him Goody.
Goody Kunst. Oh, no, wait, that's a football player. Ryan
Gutekunst.
His name's hard to pronounce.
But why do you think Justin Simmons is still out there?
He's not. I thought the Steelers claimed him yesterday.
Oh, I didn't see that. Maybe he did go. Breaking news.
That was BS. the people on social media saying the Steelers signed Justin Simmons, they were trolling. They were trolling people on Twitter. Dang.
Yeah. I was going to say, he's still out there too.
Yeah.
What would you think about McKinney and Simmons side by side?
If you got the money to bring back, I'm thinking the Packers would be open to bringing back Simmons, but I also feel like they want to extend Love first.
Yeah.
Simmons, whatever cap space is left on a 1 or 2 year deal.
Because then next year, we're getting some cap free up when with Bakhtiari gone too, you know.
Yep.
You got $60 million with Aaron, and you got $30 million with David. But that's $90 million you had tied up that you can actually spend money on people. Isn't it weird how that happens? You get all these good players coming in when you get a few guys gone, you know.
Yeah,
it's definitely good to see. But I could definitely see Justin Jefferson going to the Bengals. I could see that happening. If he's not, because you could tell even like last year, he was like, when he's not happy, he just doesn't play good. You know, it kind of affects the way he plays, and he just looked unhappy last year quite a bit, you know. What do you think about Higgins being silent in Cincinnati?
He just wants the money. But the thing is, the Bengals can franchise tag him next year if they want to as well.
Right. So,
you know, they offered the Vikings 2 first round picks and Higgins for Jefferson, and the Vikings said no. You're in a rebuild. You don't have a quarterback. Just take the picks.
Yeah. Do you think the Packers trade up at all with their picks?
They could. I don't know if they will.
I think depth is huge.
It is. And I feel like free safety is the Packers' biggest need. They need that free safety. But at the same time, it's not a good safety class. You can get a safety at 41. If anything, I think the Packers would try to move out of 26 and get more picks. If a team's willing to give them another second and third, they can basically pay everybody they draft $1 million or under $1 million for this year.
Yeah.
And then the money slowly rolls up and adds up over time.
Definitely. But they like to extend their money out too, year after year, kind of like the Bobby Bonilla effect, you know. What do you think? What's going to happen with Rashee Rice?
Maybe he draws a card. Maybe he draws a go to jail, do not pass go, do not collect $200 card. I do have the board game of Monopoly in my closet, but I'm not leaving this interview to grab the card as a prop item. It's not necessary. It's not appropriate. Wouldn't be professional or courteous to you. So, but I do have the game. Maybe he draws that card. Maybe he gets a get out of jail free card if he wins the trial. Who knows? I don't know what's going to happen with him, but I feel like the Chiefs are strongly considering a receiver at 32.
Yeah.
Values there.
That could have been Henry Ruggs 2.0 right there.
Yep.
Especially with that caliber of a car, you know. And then what? No, I know I read this, you know, shortly after it happened, but did he have guns and drugs in the car too?
I think he had drugs. I don't know if he had guns.
Yeah, what an idiot.
That'd be crazy if Rashee Rice and Henry Ruggs were in the same jail cell, and then Clark Hunt comes to the cell and brings him the ring. Hey, Henry, here's your Super Bowl ring. And then he's got the ring. Henry Ruggs is looking at him like, what's going on, bro? And he gets the ring, but he's in jail, so he can't be part of the opening day roster. The league's going to suspend you, but here's your ring. I haven't even given Mahomes his third ring yet. Here's your Super Bowl ring.
He's got to sell the ring for canteen money.
Or maybe he sells the ring for a bailout.
Yeah, I don't know.
Theoretically, he could sell the ring to get bailout money.
Yeah. Who's your best QB in the draft?
I think it's Caleb Williams, but, you know, I think Drake May is a close number 2. But I think it's going to be a very good top three. I think the top three is going to be some combination of Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah. I like Jaden Daniels in college. He has, though, he can pull the pass down and take off, too. You know, he has wheels. And that's always, that's good and bad because over time it breaks you down. But, you know, you think of Michael Vick when you think of a running quarterback. And it's like no one's ever going to be able to beat another Michael Vick. Yeah. Thoughts on Stephon Diggs to the Texans?
I thought that was a great move.
Yeah, I mean, I think the Bills got fleeced from what they got for him, but I just think he wanted out. You know, he was sick of the shit, you know?
Yeah.
CJ Stroud.
Signed off on the trade.
You heard what?
I heard Josh Allen signed off on the Diggs trade.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Do you think those two were beefing during the year?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think they were. I think there's more behind what's going on than we know, which is fine. It happens everywhere, you know? Do you think Buffalo is in trouble if they lose Diggs?
They might be.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Do you have any hot takes of your own that you think we're going to see this next year?
I feel like the Carolina Panthers can win 7 to 8 games and finish second in the NFC South. I'm not sure if that classifies as a hot take because the Buccaneers hired the Rams offensive coordinator from their 5-12 team.
Cool.
The Rams. The Rams, when they went 5-12, they had a really bad offensive coordinator. He went to Kentucky to coach. I think he went to Kentucky to take over for the offensive coordinator that left after Will Levis got drafted, and now he's back in the NFL with the Buccaneers with Dave Canales on the Panthers. I think Dave Canales he turned Geno around. He revived Baker. I just trust Dave Canales with quarterbacks. I don't know what it is about it. It's just a vibe I get. And I feel like Baker Mayfield, now that Canales is gone, I feel like Baker Mayfield's going to come back down to reality. And he's going to be this year's version of Daniel Jones.
Yeah.
I could be wrong on that, but we'll see.
Yeah. How are the Broncos going to do?
I think the Broncos may very well be the worst team in the league next year. I mean, I don't trust Jarrett Stidham at quarterback.
I don't like Sean Payton that much either.
No, the Buccaneers can get out of Baker Mayfield's contract next year, but they wouldn't get very much back. They would only save $2.675 million if they cut him pre-June 1st in 2025. So they can get out of that contract after next year. They got to play him in 2024, but they can get out of that contract after 2024 if he has a bad year.
Right. Who do you think is going to get the MVP next year or this upcoming season?
I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if Lamar ran it back. I've got the Ravens beating the Lions in the Super Bowl, but I could see the Packers getting the Super Bowl if they can get by Detroit, and they beat Detroit on the road in Detroit, so it's not impossible.
But right.
I just feel like the Lions are going to run that conference this year because they've got a lot of talent coming back, and it just feels like the Lions are all in.
Yeah. Yeah,
but once they get to a Super Bowl and lose to Baltimore, they'll have to pay Aiden Hutchinson. They'll have to pay Amon-Ra St. Brown, and everything will come crashing down. They'll have to pay Goff, that'll be the peak. That'll be the peak for the Lions, and then everything will go downhill after that because they got so many guys they got to pay.
Yeah. How do you think Aaron Rodgers will do if he plays this next year?
It's strange. I've got the Jets in the AFC title against the Ravens right now. I've got the Chiefs as my one seed, the Ravens as my two seed, the Texans at three. I've got the Jets beating the Chiefs, and I've got the Ravens beating the Jets, and Aaron Rodgers laying an egg in the AFC title. And that would suck. If the AFC title is Jets at Ravens, and the NFC title is Packers at Lions, you're going to have Packers fans speculating about a Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers Super Bowl. You're also going to have Packers fans saying, whatever happens, we do not want a Lions-Ravens Super Bowl. So either way, you're going to have a story. You're going to have something you can run with.
Yeah, I if the Packers aren't, you know, in contention, that, you know, I usually pick other teams based off of, like, if they played the Packers and they beat them. Is there something crazy story like that, you know, like when the Lions played the Niners? I kind of wanted the Lions to win, but if they didn't win, I didn't care, you know. But yeah, like you said, there's going to be a story no matter what. I think here I'm going to wrap it up, and I want to thank you for coming on and talking for almost an hour about football. Crazy, huh? How the social media thing works. How can people get a hold or find you on social media?
Can we look up the Packers 2024 opponents first before we wrap this up?
Sure, go ahead.
That'll be the last topic. It's 12:48. I want to get out of here by 1 or 1:30 at the latest as well.
Sure.
Yeah, we'll talk about the Packers 2024 opponents, try to project where they're at, and then then we'll wrap it up. So the Packers have 9 home opponents. They get the NFC North. They get the Cardinals, Texans, Colts, Dolphins, Saints, and 49ers. I think the 49ers will probably be the toughest home game. Texans and 49ers will be the 2 toughest home games.
Yeah.
Lions will be tough too, but I think the Packers, they find a way. I'm going to have the Packers going 8-1 at home, and I have them beating the Vikings. I have them beating the Titans. So that's 10 wins minimum, I think. I think Seattle's beatable. And Mike McDaniel, it's a transition year, so I'm looking at 11-6.
Yeah.
I do think 12-5 is on the table if they can sweep the Bears. They probably will sweep the Bears. So, yeah, I'll go with 12-5. But I'm looking at Detroit, the Rams, the Jaguars, and the Eagles on the road as the teams that beat the Packers.
And yeah.
Play with the Lions again, I think 13-4 is in play, but I'm looking at 11-6 worst case scenario, 13-4 best case scenario if you split with the Lions. That's kind of what I'm looking at, because Jaguars, Rams, Eagles, Seahawks, Titans, and then the NFC North teams. I believe the Packers will sweep the Bears and Vikings again, and it just comes down to whether you can split with the Lions and can you beat the Texans and 49ers at home. They're
right.
The schedule's manageable enough for them to be back in the playoffs. I'd be shocked if the Packers missed the playoffs with this schedule. 9 home games, 8 road games.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking, you know, between 10-7 and 13-4, you know, is manageable. 10 wins for sure, you know, especially with, I mean, seeing these videos of some of the Packers in the offseason training, like Dontayvion Wicks his workout videos are crazy. But I forgot to ask you, do you think the Packers are going to draft a quarterback?
I can see it on day 3. If the value is there, I could see it. I did not like Sean Clifford coming out of Penn State. So if the value is there, I could see a quarterback in round 4. I can. I really can.
I saw a mock draft where they had Tua's brother going to the Packers.
Interesting. I mocked I haven't done the write-up yet, but I did mock the Tennessee quarterback, Joe Milton to the Packers in round 4. Cause the other QBs that I had graded above him that I think have starter potential, low end starter potential, Michael Pratt ended up going to the Niners to replace Darnold. And I know the Niners brought in Dobbs. I like Pratt more than Dobbs. And then I also mocked Jordan Travis to the Buccaneers in round 4. And then I mocked the Packers ended up getting Joe Milton at that point, because I felt like even though Joe Milton, I don't see him being a future starter in the league, he's an upgrade over Sean Clifford.
So. Yeah. How do you these questions come up as I'm talking to you. I apologize.
I'm used to it. I have a live stream on my YouTube channel with Restream. And some people come in the chat room and ask us questions all the time. So no problem.
What do you think? What do you think Jim Harbaugh is going to do as far as like coaching? And then who do you think he's going to try to get McCarthy, JJ McCarthy?
Yeah, I believe JJ McCarthy will ultimately end up. I know the chart. That was a trick question. Justin Herbert's the Chargers quarterback. Jim Harbaugh. I mean, I almost got me. You almost got me. I don't feel as focused as usual, but, you know, I think the Chargers would be willing to trade with the Vikings if their goal is to get McCarthy, because then they can get more draft capital. I think Harrison Jr. is there at 5. You got to pick him. He's the best receiver in the draft, but I expect the Cardinals to take him at 4.
Right.
But it's funny, everybody's pushing for the narrative for Neighbors to go there because Neighbors is a year younger. And I don't know. It just feels like everybody's pushing for Neighbors. Neighbors had more drops than Harrison Jr. But I just feel like Harrison Jr. is a more complete receiver. But we'll see. They're both probably going to go in the top 5 if nobody trades up for McCarthy or May.
Yeah. This is off topic again, but you know, people are comparing, they want to get rid of Anders Carlson for the Packers because they didn't think he did a good job this last year. And I went back and I did a side-by-side of his rookie year and Mason Crosby's rookie year. And he had better make percentage over Mason Crosby his rookie year. And then people were all upset when Mason Crosby left. So I think they're too quick to jump the gun. I think they brought in Greg Joseph as good competition for him in the offseason. But ultimately, I think the Packers keep Anders Carlson. What do you think?
I agree with that. It's too quick to judge Carlson. He wasn't in my top 5 kickers last year, but when I found out he was related to Daniel Carlson, I'm thinking, all right, he's Daniel Carlson's little brother. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt. Didn't know his brother was in the draft, so... And Packers took him, so it could end up working out. I don't think his sophomore year can be any worse than Cade York, the kicker the Browns took, who the Browns ended up cutting this year.
So, yeah.
And I thought Anders Carlson had more success than Chad Ryland, the kicker the Patriots drafted in the 4th round ahead of him.
Man, I think back when the Packers drafted BJ Sanders, what a mistake that was. That was one of their terrible draft picks.
DJ Sanders, I don't remember him.
He was a punter from Ohio State, I think. They drafted a punter, like, in a high round.
Yeah, I'm Googling BJ Sanders, and first thing that shows up is Barry Sanders Jr. Oh, BJ Sanders punter, here we go. Yeah, he was the Packers' 3rd-round pick in 2004.
Yeah, 3rd-round pick for a punter.
But looks like that actor, James McAvoy from the X-Men movies. He does. His facial appearance is very similar.
I hate these phone calls. They don't want spam.
Yeah.
Sorry. I was getting a phone call. Nope. Suspected spam. Okay. End call. Well, listen, I know you said you want to get out of here by about 1 o'clock. It's about 1 o'clock your time. I have to do some grocery shopping.
And I got to work in my mock draft, too. It was great to have you on. It was great to be on your show. I really appreciate it. And if you ever want to come on our podcast after the draft to talk about the Packers or anything, whatever, just hit me up and I'll try my best to make that happen.
Absolutely. Where can people get a hold of you on social media?
Draftutopia on Twitter. You can like the Draft Utopia page on Facebook. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel on YouTube. We have NFL high game film of top players in college football and live streams of the weekly podcast.
Awesome. Well, again, thank you. I appreciate it. And hope to hook up with you down the road.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Take care, buddy. Thank you.
Thanks.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.